Britain's parliament has approved Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Brexit deal, but rejected his timetable. Kurdish fighters in Syria say they've withdrawn from a safe zone along the border with Turkey. And a Wall Street Journal exclusive, Japanese conglomerate SoftBank takes control of the embattled WeWork at a much lower price, $8 billion.
You know, there are questions whether we've ever seen a company's valuation drop this quickly. And the promise of, you know, what employees, what investors, what people thought they were holding on to in terms of a share price, it's a pretty incredible fall.
It's Tuesday, October 22nd. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Tuesday marked a partial victory for British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Lawmakers voted to endorse his Brexit deal in principle, but minutes later voted against pushing the plan through Parliament by the end of the month. They say they need more time to consider the deal and how they might amend it. Johnson had insisted the United Kingdom would exit the European Union by October 31st. For the latest developments and more on what comes next, please head to our website, WSJ.com. Kurdish forces told the Trump administration Tuesday that they've completed withdrawal from a safe zone along the border between Turkey and Syria. That was a condition of a five-day truce reached in talks last week between the U.S. and Turkey. In exchange for Turkey halting its offensive into Syria, the U.S. agreed to lift sanctions imposed on Turkey in reaction to the assault. Earlier on Tuesday, Russia agreed to help Turkey secure the 300-mile-long safe zone in northeastern Syria, including parts that were not covered by the agreement with Washington. Bill Taylor, a top U.S. diplomat in Kiev, Ukraine, is the latest Trump administration official to testify behind closed doors as part of the House impeachment inquiry into President Trump. According to Florida Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who listened to part of the testimony, Taylor drew a, quote, very direct line between President Trump's decision to withhold aid to Ukraine and his efforts to press the Ukrainian president to undertake investigations. Specifically, he said Trump wanted Ukraine to probe a company where Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden's son had worked and look into allegations of Ukrainian interference in the 2016 U.S. election. President Trump has denied the existence of any quid pro quo. 11 parents implicated in a college admissions cheating scandal are now facing additional charges. The parents, including actress Lori Loughlin and her husband, are now also being charged with trying to bribe college programs that receive federal funds. That's on top of charges related to conspiracy to commit honest services fraud and money laundering, and could carry more prison time. Nearly half of the 35 parents caught up in Operation Varsity Blues since March continue to fight the case. Those who have already pleaded guilty won't face additional charges. Sales of the world's most expensive drug beat expectations in its first full quarter of sales, bringing in $160 million. Gene therapy drug Zolgensma, manufactured by Novartis, promises to cure muscle-wasting disease in infants, but has a list price of $2.1 million per patient. Our Denise Rowland says Novartis knew selling the drug would prove challenging because of the price tag.
$2 million is a lot. It sounds like a lot. But it is rooted in some kind of thinking. So there's an independent nonprofit that has assessed Zolgensma and actually said $2 million is good value because this drug actually does something. It can change a newborn baby from having a life expectancy of 2 years, and those 2 years being quite hard, to getting a full life and having no symptoms of this disease. So it's a remarkable drug, which means it can justify that price tag to some degree.
Analysts had expected sales of about $98 million in the first quarter. Now, a Wall Street Journal exclusive. We report that Japanese conglomerate SoftBank will take control of troubled office-sharing company WeWork, and that its co-founder Adam Neumann will receive a sizable severance package of up to $1.7 billion to cut most ties with the company. The latest news could further slash the company's valuation to as little as $8 billion. Joining me now with more on this exclusive is Wall Street Journal reporter Maureen Farrell. Maureen, fair to say what's getting the most attention today is co-founder Adam Neumann's potential severance package, which we report could be up to $1.7 billion. Tell us about that price tag.
It's a huge one. It's completely staggering in the grand scheme of, you know, a company that has potentially lost almost $40 billion of value this year. It's a huge amount for the founder to be taking out, as, you know, they have not gone public in the way they expected to. There's been a restructuring. You know, it's an amazing deal for Adam Neumann. It's their questions of, you know, how, where this leaves the company, investors, employees.
So why so high a price tag? We've heard a lot of questions about Neumann's fitness as a leader, about corporate governance of WeWork. What are you hearing?
At the end of the day, he had dual class shares, meaning he had the power to make a lot of really critical decisions, because at one point he had 20 votes for every one that some other shareholders had. So he essentially was in control. So at least part of this is seen as a way to kind of buy him out of that control. After this deal, it looks like it will go to 1-to-1. Everyone will have an equal voting power, seems to be the case.
Okay, and we've also learned that Japanese conglomerate SoftBank has won approval from the board to take control of the company after a series of struggles that you've reported on extensively. What can you tell us about SoftBank's potential plans for WeWork?
It sounds like they're going to bring in, as chairman, one of their key executives, Marcelo Claure. He's been in there, you know, as an investor, sort of evaluating the company and where it stands with a team. It sounds like he'll be the chairman. He's going to work with the existing CEOs. There could be a management shakeup. It's too early to say. But right now, it sounds like the SoftBank team is going to continue what started since Adam left in sort of turning this company back into what it was, which is WeWork, an office leasing company. Under the former CEO and co-founder, Adam Neumann, he had gone into so many different areas, from surfing-related companies to snack foods. He always said this was so much more than an office leasing company. Under SoftBank, I think they're looking to make it a profitable, someday, office leasing company. What most people know WeWork to be, meaning you go into an office, it's decorated, it looks really cool, there's kombucha. That was what it was at the beginning, and they're going to try to find a way to do that in a profitable way where they're not bleeding tons of money.
So I guess that means an IPO could still be on the table down the line.
Potentially down the line. It seems like there's a lot of work to be done before that, but I think that, you know, would be a key pathway for the investment.
And let's just talk briefly about the company's valuation, which you spoke about a little bit earlier. WeWork was valued at about $47 billion earlier this year. We've seen the valuation go down precipitously since then, and this is a deal that would potentially bring it down even further.
It's an absolutely stunning fall in valuation and price tag that earlier this year, SoftBank had put money in at $47 billion. Now it looks like it would be below $10 billion. You know, there are questions whether we've ever seen a company's valuation drop this quickly, and the promise of, you know, what employees, what investors, what people thought they were holding on to in terms of a share price. It's a pretty incredible fall.
All right, The Wall Street Journal's Maureen Farrell bringing us the latest news on WeWork. Maureen, thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much for having me.
And finally, ride-hailing company Lyft has also been under pressure from investors to show a path to profitable growth since it went public earlier this year. But shares of the company were up on Tuesday after Lyft CEO Logan Green made an announcement at our Tech Live conference in Laguna Beach, California.
We are excited to now go on the record and say that we're going to be profitable on an adjusted EBITDA basis a year before analysts expect us to.
That means the company expects to be profitable in late 2021 on an adjusted earnings basis. That's before costs like interest, taxes, and depreciation. Lyft shares jumped on the news, ending the day up around 6.5% at more than $43 apiece. but that's still far lower than the company's share price of $72 in March. Lyft President John Zimmer said the company's losses didn't suggest it was in the same situation as WeWork, which he described as, quote, looking for a path out to survive after a liquidity crunch. For more on this and other conversations at the Wall Street Journal's Tech Live Conference, please head to our website, WSJ.com or the WSJ app. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.